Welcome, one and all, to a Talk Hockey Radio special. I'm joined today by Fraser. Hello, Fraser.
Hi, Simon.
Sadly, Taff can't be with us. It's surely no coincidence that with the FIH president back in Europe, Taff has suddenly gone missing, true to form. However, in his absence, we're going to be discussing the Euro Hockey Nations Championships, which is just literally, as we record this, finished the group stages as Germany just finished beating France. I think it was 4-1 in the end. So, yeah, Fraser, have you enjoyed the tournament so far?
Yeah, I've really been enjoying it. The match times don't really gel fantastically with the working day.
Nope.
In the UK. So there's been a couple of long lunch breaks to watch some of the games and a lot of going back and watching them after work finishes and stuff like that. But yeah, I think overall the quality of most of the games has been fantastic.
Yes, definitely. I think the standard's been very high. It's been nice also. Obviously, Pro League is quite a mixture in standard. And despite possibly some of these teams being ranked below some of those in Pro League, actually the intensity of the hockey looks considerably higher, which is great to see. Or should we start off by talking about the pools, or should we go into the general event feel? What do you fancy?
We'll start off talking through the two pools.
Yeah, and we start with women's pool A.
Yeah.
Right, so this group, we'll start from the bottom. Italy have unfortunately finished last in the group. Did you catch much of the Italians?
Yeah, I saw a couple of their games. Although they didn't really have a lot going forward, they did defend well and they held their own in matches where I thought they were going to get run off the park.
Yeah, I've not caught much of theirs. I have managed to watch a little bit. I think unexpectedly, probably Lara Oviedo has been one of the stars of the show, arguably their best player. Also, as usual, true to form, amazing stash, but that's pretty standard with the Italians. And also very good social media, I think it has to be said. They're always very good for that. But yeah, I think, unfortunately, it's not necessarily the biggest surprise in the world that they were bottom of the group. I'm not sure if there's relegations. It's not been entirely clear. There's nothing on the website, which is really helpful. But the commentators referred to it once or twice when I've not been able to listen due to the aforementioned work issues.
Yeah, I think they are going into a pool, like a relegation pool. The two bottom teams from each group are going to go off and play some more games, and the bottom team is going to drop out.
Yeah, so normally Pool C is what's formed, and that's the relegation one, and the bottom two normally go down. But I've heard some stuff made said by the commentators, but unfortunately, due to having a job, my capacity to listen to everything they're saying has been limited, and there is nothing on the website, which might as well get to it now. The website's crap. Not all the pages are translated into English, and not all the information you'd actually want from such a website is there. So that's a bit disappointing, but otherwise it sounds like it's been a pretty good tournament. Second bottom was Spain. Have you seen much of them?
Yeah, again, really enjoyed watching when I've been able to, the Spanish game. They've really got after it in all the matches that I've seen. They've never kind of been run off the park. They've always been competitive.
Yeah, I think they've got some very, very, very good players in that team. That's a hard group with only two going up, and I've long felt this needs to be a 10-team tournament, not an 8-team tournament, and that could maybe open it up a bit more for the countries that are kind of floating in the middle. Who Spain would be one of those examples where sometimes they can get into the bronze medal match, sometimes they can't. I think it's not necessary. Anyone who's watched Spain for a while probably won't be surprised to see Lucia Jimenez Vicente, and that's my best Spanish, apologies to anyone offended by how bad my Spanish is, has been on fine form, and also the goalkeepers, I think, have done really, really well. I think I overheard Jana Muller Wieland saying that the debutante goalkeeper, it's her first tournament for Spain. She's made one or two sort of friendly appearances, but her first competitive ones, was playing outfield in a second division team up front and finished top goal scorer of a second division. So she's one of those obnoxiously talented people. So I think it's one of those cases where possibly the future is probably quite bright for Spain. And if there are relegations, I would expect they'll be one of the favourites to stay up. So then that takes us to Belgium. What are your thoughts on Belgium so far?
Yeah, I think Belgium are one of the kind of the informed teams, is how I would describe it to me. Like, they've looked sharp from the very first whistle, the very first game they've been on it. I think it's going to be be a really interesting semi-final for them. But yeah, like I say, I think in every game that they've played some absolutely fantastic hockey, and they've scored some absolutely unreal goals. I'm sure we're going to be seeing the Abbey Ray reverse for a while on social media doing the rounds.
Yeah, I think they're one of those teams that's been bubbling nicely under the surface recently, and they have got a tough one there against Germany in the semi-final. They did very well against the Netherlands and really rode them close for a while. When you think about the squad, it's a real mixture of experience and youth and surprises. I think people like White, who are very new to the international scene, has settled in very quickly. Then Lottie Engelbert has been, I think she won the Rising Star or the Young Player of the Year or whatever silly name it's got. She won that for the FIH and deservedly so, and she's continuing to destroy people. Hélène Brassier is probably one of the best defenders in the world right now, next to Stephanie van den Bora. And then they've got Babs Nalen and Alex Gernier in the middle, both of whom offer a lot of experience, a lot of calm, and two very good goalkeepers, so it's really hard to pick between the two of them. So if they can beat Germany, they could really surprise everyone and potentially beat the Dutch. And the Dutch often need a little slap and a reminder that they're not all that every now and then. So with the Olympics on the horizon, it could be quite an interesting one. So that does lead us to the group winners, the Netherlands. For me, I don't think it's necessarily been completely of note. I thought it was interesting not picking Ava de Gouda and Lidewee Velten. Velten did get injured in the build-up. I believe she was fit enough that she could have gone, and she's now doing pre-season again, I think, from someone she stuck up with her club. But they did look a bit vulnerable against the Belgians, which I think will give everyone hope, particularly whoever wins that semi. Not that I'm jumping to conclusions for the Dutch semi, but whoever wins out of Belgium versus Germany, we'll go into that knowing they've potentially got a prospect possibility there. What have you been making of the Dutch?
Yeah, I think you've kind of touched that there. They've got a lot of quality in the side, and they've sort of been almost skating by on the quality of the team rather than on the team performance. So they've got all the parts, but they're just not gelling together and running smoothly, which gives a little bit of hope as a British fan going into the semi-finals. But yeah, like you say, I think they've definitely exposed some weaknesses in games that they've not been punished for, and they've kind of been able to dig their way out of whatever hole they've made for themselves.
Yes, I mean, it will be interesting. Well, the Dutch winning that one, should we work backwards from Pool B downwards?
Yeah,
so that was won by the Germans. What have you made of them?
Yeah, again, hit the ground running, never looked out of form. Everything's been sharp, everything's been kind of crisp in the build-up play. They've scored some great goals, and they've played everyone in this pool off the pitch in every game.
Yeah, I think for me, I think they've scored 14 goals in three games, which is quite something. Ireland did challenge them and made them look like there was a bit of a wobble for a while. Ultimately, they won 5-0, but the Irish did, I think, show that there is hope for the Belgians.
Yeah, so the 5-0 is a flattering scoreline, because at 2-0 going into the fourth quarter, Ireland pulled their goalkeeper and so made some chances, but Germany put away three, two of which were penalty corners, and one was a late counter-attack off an Irish penalty corner where they broke the length of the pitch and had a 3-on-1 or something.
Yeah.
So the scoreline does flatter them.
Yeah, I think that's fair. That's a fair comment. So then finishing second was England. I would say when they're good, they're very good. When they're bad, they are absolutely awful. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think we spoke about it after the game, but the performance against Germany was, to be polite, very flat. They never seemed to get any sort of momentum. They never seemed to build into the game. They just seemed to be pinned back into their own 23 for the majority of it, just kind of weathering the German attacking pressure as best they could.
Yeah, I think it was one, maybe two shots on target, or in fact, shots, full stop in that game. So
yeah, I think it was one shot.
Yeah. And then there are some positives. I think Holly Hunt coming back has been fantastic. She looks sharper, faster. She's creating stuff. She's looking fantastic. Tess Howard scored a really nice hat-trick, scored some good important goals. And Fiona Crackles as well, being a big asset to the team. But I also think it is pretty clear they're missing Maddie Hinch, who's retired, missing Toman, Ansley, Bourne and McCallum, who are all injured. Those are all big, big names, particularly in the defence. Losing probably two of the starting players is a big hit. One of whom's a short corner specialist. And then Shona McCallum, who probably after Laura Roper is the most experienced player in the team. So, yeah, a difficult position for them. But have you seen any green shoots of hope?
Yeah, I mean, the opening game, I thought they had a very strong performance in what I thought was going to be a much closer game than it was. Likewise, in the final group game, I thought everything seemed to click into place during that game. Now, you can say a bit about, you know, the opposition they were facing, maybe making it a little bit easier. But the Tess Howard first goal was a fantastic breakaway bit of play. Her second goal, I think it was a really good finish off some tight play around inside the circle to make space for the shot. And the third goal, entertainingly, was cut off the highlights. So, yeah, like I said, I think that third group game really did kind of give me a bit of hope going forward, because it did all seem to click into place in a nice, nice manner.
Yeah. I think they seem a good group, and hopefully they can get through it. It's obviously with that number of important players. Obviously Hinch, it's a hard one to completely consider her missing, as she's technically retired. But I think if she were available, she'd be the number one choice. But anyway, so we move on then to Ireland, who were the victims of that hat trick, and yeah, the third goal was the wrong side of Tess's stick. But never mind, technicalities. So Ireland, they finished third in the group. I think they've had some bright moments. It's quite an inexperienced team. They lost a lot after the Tokyo Olympics, some through genuine retirement and where they were intending to retire, some through injury and therefore just weren't able to continue with hockey, unfortunately. So it possibly is a bit of a rebuilding, but I think particularly Hannah McLaughlin and Kiva Purdue have stood out for me. And it's really nice to see Aisha McFerrin back after a bit of a break. And she's transferred over to Maddie Hinch's old club. So hopefully can work some magic and fly that Red Bull wing over there. As she's also a fellow Red Bull athlete, I believe. What have you made of the Irish?
Yeah, again, really competitive side. Played their way into some of the games where I thought they were going to be bullied off the pitch almost. Created chances that they've not necessarily taken all of them, especially, for example, in the Germany game, where they did create a lot, but were just unable to create enough of an opening to get a goal. But they really did compete for three quarters to keep Germany pinned back when they've been firing so well in the previous two games. So, yeah, so I think there's a lot of hope for them going forward. And like you say, they've got a lot of strong characters who can possibly lead them on to bigger and better things from this.
Yeah. Well, that brings us on to Scotland. So I think, unfortunately, in that group, they were probably favourites for the last place going into it. They've still had some good moments. I think Charlotte Watson and Amy Costello have understandably stood out. Charlotte Watson has particularly attracted a lot of praise from Maddie Hinch in the commentary booth. I've had the pleasure of watching her play once or twice for GB. And I think she's only 24 or so, so still quite a number of years ahead of her, hopefully, but definitely looks like a real bright prospect for Scotland and for GB. What were your thoughts on Scotland so far and their chances of evading any potential drop there might be?
Yeah, like you said, I think when you saw the calls after the draw, they were always the ones you were kind of earmarking for that last place. They've had some good performances, but I just don't think they have the strength in the squad to be competitive with the likes of Germany, England and Ireland. I think they've got a chance of holding on in Pool C, but it's going to be a big ask for them to pull out some big results going forward in those games. And it will be dependent on how many teams are going down and how that's going to be handled. I don't think they actually scored a goal.
No, I think you might be right, actually.
So I think there's some attacking weakness that needs to be addressed, but they did defend well in all three of their games despite the score lines.
You're correct. They lost 4-0, 5-0 and 5-0. So the GB goalkeeper is not like he's come from Scotland, unfortunately.
So, yeah, but like I said, they did create some chances, but I just don't think they had that attacking threat. So maybe allowed teams to be a bit more aggressive against them because they didn't have the worry of the counter-attack as much.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting. So they'll play in, so they won't need to play against Ireland again, but they will be playing against Italy and Spain. A lot of Italians play in probably more competitive leagues than perhaps the Scottish are in, which is a mixture primarily, I believe, of the English and the Scottish Premier Leagues and second divisions. So yeah, it's going to be a challenge, but you never know. We might be able to pull out of the bag. I am legally Scottish, so I am cheering them on, despite that insensitive comment about my goalkeeping. Anyway, we move on.
I'm also half Scottish, so I was cheering them on.
Yeah.
Games.
So we move on to the men's Pool A. Should we start from the top or start from the bottom?
We'll start from the bottom again.
I think this is a ridiculously difficult pool, actually. The stand, like you talked earlier at the start of this, about the standard of hockey, and this pool is testament to that. Properly, it's ridiculous how good these teams have been. So Austria have finished bottom, which I don't think is necessarily a surprise, but it's hard not to feel sorry for them with how well they've played. I think particularly in defense, their goalkeeper, obviously they're an extremely strong indoor team, so their discipline in getting the right distance to defend free hits, staying low but not exposing their shins, all that stuff. Their goalkeeping's been absolutely absurd. They've been a real pleasure to see. My only possible criticism I could really make them is I think their kit's a bit horrendous. But aside from that, they've been a fantastic asset. What's your thoughts on Austria?
Yeah, I think you touched that there. Like, they're a big indoor nation. I think that shows in their style of play a little bit. Certain elements I don't think track very well to outdoor play. And again, I don't think they've got the depth in the squad that the other teams have, and I think that showed at certain points when they've not got kind of their ringers, so to speak, on the pitch. You can see a noticeable drop off in their play. Obviously, they've got the penalty corner threat in Korfer, who is well known. He's operated throughout the Euro Hockey League and has always been a threat. And I think in most of the games that I've seen them play, he's often not been on the pitch when they've won penalty corners, which shows in their goal difference a little bit, because I think he probably could have got some if he'd had a couple of sighters.
Yeah.
I think in some of the games he got one, in others he didn't even get a chance to be on at the penalty corner. They scored one goal in the final game today. Their goalkeeper has been bringing endless joy to Maddie and Simon in the commentary box with his kind of low effort.
I think you added Simon there.
His kind of low effort saves, although it did cost them in their game against Spain, in that he didn't kind of drive through a kick to get it clear. He just kind of turned his foot and let it hit the pad, and it bounced back into play and fell directly to a Spanish forward who nailed it into the far corner of the goal. But yeah, I think they have played well, but like I say, just that lack of depth in the squad was telling at times.
Yeah, I think, again, it's one of those ones where you don't want anyone to get relegated, so I'd like to stay up. My only, again, apart from the kit, my only real frustration with them is I quite like that Austria is called Österreich. I think it's a fantastic name for a country. I'm very disappointed that all their kit just says Austria on it. I think it's so disappointing getting to hear all that done properly. But never mind. Anyway, I always pick up on the stuff that is absolutely no relevance whatsoever. So moving on, Spain. Finishing third, who today were part of one of the best matches, most entertaining matches I've ever seen. One of the most well-contested games, both in terms of the quality of the hockey, but also the spirit of the game. I think it was very, very nicely done. A bit heated at times, but very good. So they finished third. And I think for me, you can see a very clear impact of Max Caldas on the squad. I make no secret of the fact I am a huge fan of his, not just for the exceptional pawn tash that he has, but just generally marvelously entertaining, lovely man who produces brilliant hockey. And I think for Spain, he's a fantastic appointment. What's your take on Spain?
Yeah, absolutely fabulous. Like you said, the game today, as a neutral fan, I bet was amazing. Real edges to see hockey. They've been entertaining in every game. They've really kind of played their hearts out. I think potentially some of their tactics and stuff was maybe used up in the Invitational tournament they hosted about a month ago.
Yeah,
which they won. So some of the cards they had up their sleeve, they maybe gave away a little bit there. But yeah, like I say, I think they've been fantastic.
Yeah, I definitely agree. So then, in that ridiculous game of hockey today, their opponents were England, who finished second in the group. For me, this has just been a continuation of the last few years for England and Great Britain. Obviously, England do make up the bulk of the GB squad. They've been a pleasure to watch. They seem very united as a group, attacking. In terms of open play hockey, they're arguably one of the best teams in the world for open play attacking hockey. Corners, actually, quite a big improvement at this tournament as well, which has been a big criticism in the past. And I think particularly Nick Bandarak and James Albury have really shown maturity and delivered the results. And it's pretty hard not to talk about Nick Bandarak's absolutely outrageous goal on the first day.
Again, it's one we're going to see a lot on social media as it does the rounds again and again.
And credit to EHF and FIH, they got that out very quickly. When Zach Wallace scored that ridiculous, almost Kevin Peterson style switch onto the backhand and smash it strike, I think it took the FIH about 9 years to get it out, whereas other people had it out within minutes. And on this occasion, they got it out very quickly. So they deserve praise because they also, have to be giving them credit when it's due, as well as slagging them off when it's due. So they did well there. But yeah, I take it you've been enjoying watching the England displays.
Yeah, absolutely. You've touched on that. The open play, they're definitely up there as one of the best in the world at the minute. They're creating so many chances, not necessarily finishing all of them, which I'd like to see. And then getting a better return rate from penalty corners. I still think that we lack a dedicated kind of drag flick threat. While we have people who are good drag flickers and they can get us goals, we wouldn't put them up there with the likes of Payat, Hendricks, and Janssen.
Yeah.
Of people who you would bag to get at least one given two or three attempts.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, another thing that's also worth pointing out is their reaction to adversity has improved. Watching them in Pro League the last couple of years, they have a habit of picking up cards late on and also biting at what they feel to be injustices. And I think today is a great case in point where Phil Roper was adjudged to have asked for a team referral. And you'll notice a lot of umpires will double check. People definitely want it. Like I've heard Sean Edwards and a number of others say, are you sure? Are you sure? Like Ali Keogh, that's like five times the other day. Just to make sure you take the emotion out. Are you sure you want this? Okay, fine, we'll do it. In this occasion, he was clearly not giving Matthiessen one when he was pointing to where he felt he'd been hit. And then was told, nope, you gave me the tee, we're going upstairs. And they had to make up a referral. And I think if you'd gone back 6 months, Roper probably would have got carded out of frustration at that situation. And the team would have felt the world was against them. It's not. It was a genuine misunderstanding. And I can understand what, because it does look a little bit like a tee, but it wasn't. And the squad probably deserves a bit of credit there for how it's responded to that situation.
Yeah, I think they have matured over the past couple of years in those situations, but they've also, I think, not really touched on it, but I think defensively they've been superb. They've been under the cosh, especially in the game today, and held their own really well and played kind of patient hockey to get out of trouble. I don't know how many goal line clearances Thorsby has already made.
Yeah.
The Euros alone to go with his goal today, which I think is probably only his second international goal ever. He's not a big goal scorer, but he took it well today. But yeah, like defensively, they've been getting progressively better and they've really had a solid performance. I think they've had, in the past two games, they've had a defender win man of the match.
Yeah, no, that's good. It's been very pleasant. So that brings us on to Belgium. I think the result against England, they had quite a big scare. England went 3-1 up and the Belgians did fight back into it. I thought leaving arguably the best striker in the world back home was a bold decision. Leaving Tom Boone, who scored over 50 goals in arguably the second best domestic league in the world, was an interesting choice and it might backfire. The youngsters, they need to get them blooded. They can't keep trading off of having players in their mid to late 30s. They do need to get them in there. I think there's a degree of them stepping up. but it definitely doesn't look like the force it once was. This is clearly a transition period for them. What's your take on Belgium?
Yeah, like you say, a really odd decision going into the tournament to leave Boone at home. I saw a comment online that someone made of, you wouldn't leave Haaland at home after the season he's just had. And it tracks real. I mean, he scored 50 goals. I can't remember if that's the league goal scoring record or not, but it's got to be up there, even if it isn't breaking the record. He was fit. He's been playing. There's no good reason why you wouldn't take him. And I think it's something that might be looked badly on, depending on the result they get from this.
Yeah. I mean, they also didn't take, I'm probably going to say his name wrong because I've forgotten how it's spelled slightly, Coy Sains, plays for Racing Brussels. Coy Sains, yeah. Less surprised personally. I think he struggles under pressure. He's a decent enough player, but he is at the older age end, I suppose. So fair enough to maybe blood some of the younger players. I think Victor Wenye stepping up as an on-pitch leader. You can see that he leads the team talks in a little huddle now, which is an interesting step. Obviously, Felix Danea looks fine. Nico De Kerpel looks okay. I think Antoine Keane has been a bit disappointing. This is a player who actually, in fact, Tom Boone has said before is the best player in the world once or twice. He had a phenomenal season for Gantoise. And maybe, I don't know what's going on. He doesn't seem to be quite the threat that he has been for them and has been in the past for Belgium. So yeah, it's an interesting one to watch. I think Belgium need to be winning medals. Players of that caliber don't become shit overnight. Teams of that caliber don't become shit overnight. And if they don't win medals, there are going to be very serious questions asked about some of that selection. And like you said, not only was Tom Boone scoring better, he's by all accounts tidied a lot of his behaviours up. He's really, really fit. He's on form. It's a bizarre decision not to pick him. But there we go. C'est la vie, as he would say in slightly better French than me. That rhymes. You have that for free. That round as well. Brilliant. It's late. Pool B, you want to start at the top or bottom?
Start at the top, work our way down.
Yeah. So this is won by the Dutch. What is your take on the Dutch? I believe it was won by the Dutch. Let's double check that. It was not won by the Dutch.
It was won by Germany.
It was. That result. Right. Okay. So well done, the Dutch. They did so well that they finished second when I thought they'd won. Okay. So Germany won. What do you reckon to Germany?
Yeah. Similar to how we talked about in the women's side. They've really been kind of the informed team, hit the ground running, haven't really let up. Opening game against the Netherlands, hitting them early to get a 2-goal lead. I think I saw people talking in interviews afterwards from the Netherlands saying, you know, if we played that game 5 times with the number of corners we got, the number of chances we created, the number of shots on target we had, we'd probably win 4. But their goalkeeper has had a stormer. They've got 2 early goals. We've done everything right. But you just can't get past that kind of a performance. And to be fair, their goalkeeper had a stormer in that game. And then in every other game, they've just looked dominant. They've looked like at any point they could put their foot on the throttle and kind of go and get any goals that they need.
Interesting takes. It's almost polar opposite of what I had written down. I thought their draw against Wales was shocking. I think for Germans, probably completely unacceptable. I do think, obviously, the goalkeepers are a force of nature. They're very lucky to have very good goalkeepers. But at some point, that luck might run out. And like you said, the Dutch had 43 million short corners, didn't score any of them. And it could come back to bite them. But then on the other hand, Germany are one of those teams that normally starts a bit on the cold and then they heat up as the tournament goes on. And if that's the case, I mean, well, heating up, going drawing 3-3 to against Wales to smashing, what was it, 8-1, I think, today? Or was that a Dutch one, 8-1?
Yeah. No, Germany was 4-1. That was the last game.
Yeah.
So the opening game against Wales, Germany got 2 goals up. Wales got 1 back. Germany went and put some pressure on, got another goal. And then Wales hit them hard in the final 10 minutes. The equaliser was, what, a minute from time, something like that?
Yeah.
I can't remember off the top of my head now. Had the game gone another 5 minutes, I honestly believe that Germany could have gone out and got another goal because they spent the rest of the game trying to get it back. But like you say, almost asleep at the wheel at 3-1. Again, can't take credit for this. comments seen online of Wales did a Germany to Germany.
Yeah, all that.
Which I found entertaining. But yeah, like I say, the Netherlands game, their goalkeeper played out of his skin to keep that 2-goal lead intact. And then the game today obviously was close to a point, and then Germany ran away with it.
Yeah. I mean, it sets up an interesting semi-final against England, who, as I'm sure many will remember, at the World Cup, looked like they were into the next stage. And then suddenly Germany, as you just said, did a Germany and managed to win it at the death. I think, was it via shootout?
It was. It was only the game against England and the final when they didn't win within regular time. So it could be a very interesting semi-final.
Yeah, the English look extremely motivated, and the opportunity to silence a stadium full of Germans will be quite appealing to a lot of that squad. And they're players who respond well to abuse being held at them. Brendan Currie, I'm sure, will particularly appreciate. I think he probably still understands a reasonable amount of the German insults, having lived there. And Sam Ward is always a target of abuse. So, yeah. So that then brings us on to second place, Netherlands, who did initially win the tournament. Not tournament, bloody hell, got ahead of myself there. Oh, no nightmare. Come on, Taff, get out of that basement. So the Dutch have finished second in the pool. I think some of their younger players have really shown, but I'm not 100% convinced that they're quite where they need to be. They seem a little bit volatile is not the right word. Unsteady. Not that. Yeah. You know, at times the Dutch, you think back, in fact, when Jeroen Hertzberger, not Hertzberger, Delmay, their coach, when he was playing for them, they were like a machine. They would just bash out the win. No matter what happened, they were definitely going to win. Never in doubt. And that isn't the case right now.
Yeah, so there was an interesting comment during the game today about how you look at the quality of the Dutch attack. So while they were having a lot of circle penetrations, they weren't getting a lot of outcomes, so they weren't getting shots on goals, they weren't getting penalty corners, which is something you would usually take away from a Dutch performance. Yes, they've had a lot of the ball, yes, they've got into the circle, but what have they done with it when they're getting in there? Now, unfortunately, we don't have access to these stats that the commentators are referring to, going back to your earlier point about the website not being up to scratch. We can't see the stats, you can't see goal scorers, you also can't see the results of any of the games that have been played. So again, kind of to a lesser extent, because I think the Netherlands women's team is a much more dominant force, it just seems like they're not clicking, they're not gelling, they're not playing kind of as a team, but are skating by on individual talent who create chances and take goals.
So that brings us on to third place, France. So for me, I think it's pretty clear they're missing their captain, fantastic Victor Charlet, who got injured just before the tournament. When you look at their corners, they just don't look quite so confident. Victor Lockwood is a good corner specialist, but he's not one of the top ones in the world, which I think Victor Charlet still is. Otherwise, they look quite a solid team. They just can't score when they need to, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I think he's also a big player to be missing from their defensive lineup as well.
Figuratively and literally.
Yeah, I mean, he can touch both sidelines when stood in the middle of the pitch,
yes,
which helps as a defender. And, you know, it only takes him half a stride to get from the goal line to the top of the D, which helps on penalty corners. But more than just kind of his penalty corner threat, his general presence in a game like has been missed watching them play.
Yeah.
Especially in the game today, where I think you need kind of those big players to help lead the team. And I think that kind of led to a little bit of their collapse in the later stages of the game, that they didn't have someone like that to kind of lead the side.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping they can stay up, because I have, as we've been speaking, realised French women, I believe, are going into the European A division next time. I don't think there's been a venue confirmed yet for the next Euros. If both the men and the women are in there, it could be at the same place as the Olympic Stadium, and that could be quite something. I'd be up for that. So France, stay up, please, just to facilitate that.
It's substantially easier for you to get to Paris. Is that why you want it there?
Well, I'm not sure how in Paris it actually is. I think it is technically just about in Paris, isn't it? It's on the outskirts. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It'd be good. I think it'd be nice. It'd be also nice to see it go to a different country. I mean, basically, it just does the rounds, doesn't it? I was complaining the other day, we haven't had it in England for a little while. But if we insist on detaching ourselves from the rest of Europe, then that's going to happen. But yeah, I think it'd be good to see another country take it, or someone like Spain possibly. I don't know when they last had it, but yeah, it'd be good. Anyway, last team, Wales. So obviously the aforementioned absurd result, which Lynn Morgan has now got tattooed on her bicep, and is now, the date is now her PIN code for everything, if anyone wants to scam her. Yeah, I think they've been, that was an amazing result. I think today's result, not so much, but then on the other hand, they'll have thrown absolutely everything to try and beat French. And today was probably a bit too much when you consider the fact they get bugger all funding. Only a few years ago, they were having to do crowdfunding because they'd done too well and couldn't afford to go to all the events they qualified for, which is just a reflection of a poor setup we've got in this country when it comes to funding the home nations. But yeah, what's your view on Wales?
Yeah, I mean, the never say die attitude of the first couple of games was kind of lost in the result from today, but they really did go down swinging in the French, the game against France. The French, oh my god, words. Obviously, pulling out the 3-3 draw against Germany, I think everyone kind of had that game written off at half time. And that turnaround was fantastic. If they could have followed that up with the result against the French, I think it would have been a very different game today, with the chance of them being able to pick something up. But I think there's some quality players in there. And like you say, I think if it was a slightly bigger tournament,
yeah,
and they had some other games, maybe they could put something a little bit more together. But they were the lowest ranked team in their pool. It's kind of where we expected them to go. But
yeah, I think if those
with all that being considered, they went for it.
Yeah, those extra two teams would, in theory, now be Ireland and Poland. And I think particularly Poland, they'd fancy their chances. And I think against Ireland, you know, this is a Wales team who've been to a World Cup and that they've competed now, I think, two or three times in a row, haven't they, in the A division. And obviously, you know, they've got some fantastic players like Draper and Shipperley. And I can't remember his name now, the guy who scored today. Goalkeeper as well. He's decent. Very, 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 very handy goalkeeper. A reflection also on the strength and depth we've got in the GB squad, that we've got two guys who probably would in any other year be good enough to be the number one choice for England and Great Britain in the England squad. Plus, we've now got this third chap in the Wales squad who, again, in most other years, would have been pretty much first choice for the GB squad. So it's a nice problem to have.
This furlong as well, while throwing out names.
Yes,
people.
Strongly feel
the best British drag flicker.
Yeah, it's Toby Reynolds-Cotterill I'm talking about as the goalkeeper. I completely forgot his name. Apologies. I think good old Gary Furlong. He got completely wrong name once, didn't he? From I think it was GB Hockey or FIH. Gave him completely wrong. Anyway, long been one of our best drag flickers, but he's Welsh, so he wasn't allowed to play for GB for a while. But now we have a slightly more open selection policy. Still not allowed to have Forsyth, obviously. That'd be madness. But we'll see. Anyway, enough of that. They're not in this competition with Scottish right now. So that then brings us on to just the general event. So what's your general feel of the event from afar?
Yeah, I mean, I think it looks like they've been pulling in some decent crowds, especially for the Germany games, obviously. They've talked about there's been some school trips and stuff. Got in there to kind of pack the place out, including some, Simon Mason was talking about some English schools had turned up for one of the days.
Yep.
So it's always nice to get some hockey fans across there and get some fans sat watching and watching it live. It seems to have been run very well. The production quality has been excellent. I've not had any problems no buffering, no loss of sound. It's always been perfectly smooth, good quality footage. They've been getting the highlights or the 1-minute highlights out on social media very quickly. Teams have been getting the results up, with the exception of the website that we've already complained about. I think it's been very well done.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's been, for me, from the outside, also speaking to people there, it's been, by all accounts, an extremely good tournament. I think if you really wanted to pick holes, it seems odd to position the stand so that the sun is right down the umpire and goalkeeper's eyes at one end. Need to get some cricket screens sorted out over to Germany quickly. But I think in overall,
we don't expect sun even in the summer.
but I think overall it has been a very good tournament. The everyone's saying the stadium's just magnificent. The music's great. We've got halftime entertainment that isn't overly sexualized cheerleaders like we see in some other countries for FIH tournaments, naming no names. Obviously, I have my umpire hat on, so I think it would be irresponsible not to point out that Rachel Williams became the first umpire at a capped international event to wear shorts who's a woman. There have been some people in Oceania, I believe, for test matches, for friendlies, but not for proper serious competition. So well done to Rachel for that. It's something we've been talking about for a long time in umpiring and in the MPOA and Rachel, and it's good to see the progress there. I think she can be very proud of herself. Ben Grotigan is back after being smashed in the face by a ball. Got his 100th cap today, if you want to call it a cap. I believe they get the golden whistle. But a really nice touch was that he was applauded by the likes of Lou, the umpire manager, Celine, one of the umpires. I did spot another umpire, but I've completely forgotten who it was off the top of my head now. But yeah, you could see that there was a real sense of pride and happiness for him, and Jakob really getting behind him. And Jakob, again, as an umpire, it's just brilliant to listen to him. He had Hannah Martin, who is an amazing hockey player, but also quite feisty and difficult to umpire. I think it's probably the first time I've ever encountered one of them on a pitch. And early doors, he just said, look, let's agree. You won't shout at me. I won't shout at you. And then we can play some hockey. I thought it's a really good tone there. He told people he appreciated it when he asked them to do stuff. He's a pleasure to watch umpire and to listen to. So anyone who is an umpire listening to this, please take the chance. If you see Jakob is umpiring, listen to him properly. And Ali Keogh as well, really good communication the other day where someone was screaming at her to basically intervene because the other umpire didn't possibly know what they were doing. And she said, I'm not going to talk to him because I agree with him. And I know so many other umpires who would try and be like, oh, no, you know, I can kind of see your point of view, but they've got a better angle, et cetera, et cetera. And she's like, no. They're right. Get on with it. It's really good to see. So I think they're doing a cracking job. So one of the big things, we've touched on it there with Rachel, the fact that she was wearing shorts as an umpire, was that England women were the first team to wear a mixture of shorts and skorts. The important thing was choice. This is something that Tess Howard has really pushed for through her dissertation and the research she's done, setting up Inclusive Sportswear CIC. And then through the support of the rest of her team and England Hockey pushing for changes to FIH regulations, which makes it easier to do it. EHF have allowed shorts before. It has been done at club level Euro Hockey, but not at senior international. So it was a really poignant, important moment to make it more about comfort and performance than it is about making sure women are seen to be ladylike. So well done, Tess. Well done, EHF. And well done, England Hockey and Adidas. So that then moves us on to the final bit, which is the hockey ID. Did you want to explain hockey ID to the listeners, if those are not familiar?
Yeah, so it's been run alongside special disability hockey, whatever the correct terminology is.
Intellectual disability, I think, is what the ID stands for.
It's run alongside they have competitive games, and I think it's really, really good for hockey that we're getting that inclusivity and involving them in the event. I don't think any of it's been broadcast, but I think just the fact that it's there and they're playing in front of the crowd is a big statement for hockey as a sport in Europe. I believe you've got the podium finishers.
I do. So in third place was Ireland, and I was really pleased in the photo to see a player I recognised from a few years ago who I actually ended up talking with, who was distraught not to have won a medal a few years ago. So to see them pick that up is really nice. And England were in second place, and then Germany, the hosts, doing the absolutely unforgivable and winning the tournament they hosted. That's extremely poor form. I hope they bought everybody beer to apologise for such appalling behaviour. But I agree, it's a really nice event. It's great for a lot of the crowds do stick about to watch. Also, they get to engage with players like Maddie Hinch was involved with it today. We've had people like Helen Richardson-Walsh and Kate Richardson-Walsh. And I know Darren Cheeseman's done lots in the past. And to have that level of access to, you know, genuine world stars is fantastic and shows them that the sport's there for them, and can make others understand that no matter what, you know, they can get involved and enjoy sport just as much as anybody else. So well done to EHF for incorporating it, and Norman Hughes for pushing this for so long and doing such a good job. So that brings us to the end of our shenanigans. We now have the knockout stages ahead of us, which will further prevent us from doing our jobs properly, I'm sure. But we'll soldier on and maybe try and do a recap in a few days on the bank holiday weekend, probably a little bit hungover. I'll be umpiring at the Y1 Championships. Will I be seeing you there?
Maybe. Don't think I have time, so we'll see how persuasive I can be with the better
half. Do live stick reviews. And they've got Roper and Brendan over in England, in Germany, so they don't have anyone in England to do the commentary. You could step in.
That would be hilarious. the worst person with names.
Fine, all the stars are missing, so everyone will forgive you. Right,
and it's down the line. What's his face across to who do you call it? it's been saved by you know who.
Yeah.
That's right, Voldemort is a goalkeeper.
Yeah, right, I shall let you go. But I'll speak to you soon. Lots of love. Bye bye.